Howdy.
Howdy.
Howdy, yes. Hi, my name is Lauren Tomlin. I'm an agronomy master's student at Texas A&M University, and I'm going to be talking to you today about the impacts of double cropping on soil, water, and grain yields. So just a little bit about the motivation for this study. Winter wheat is one of the most planted crops in Texas, but it has this very long fallow period in the summertime, from about 4 to 6 months. It could lend itself well to cover cropping. Cover cropping has a suite of soil health benefits, from ground cover with erosion control, increased infiltration, increased organic matter. The list goes on and on. The only, I guess, drawback to cover cropping is we don't harvest it and we don't sell it, at least not that I know of. I don't think it's typical in the system. Double cropping, however, might have some of the same soil health benefits that cover cropping has to offer, but with economic incentive. Double cropping, as of right now, is only done on about 2.1% of acreage in the southern plains. We believe a lot of this, we believe a lot of the lower numbers is due to the hesitation a lot of farmers have with the drawbacks to double cropping in a winter wheat system. One of the hesitations being not enough soil moisture for the second double crop the next season, as well as not knowing which summer crop to rotate with. So ideally, we would like to find a summer double crop to rotate with winter wheat system that adds the benefits of the cover cropping as well as the economic stability that double cropping has to offer. So some of our project objectives, we would like to quantify the benefits of these select soil health promoting practices and see how those affect our winter wheat system. We'd also like to link these changes in plant production to select soil health parameters. So we'd like to see how that affects our grain yields for the double crop and for the winter wheat. So just a little bit about our research sites. So we have three different research sites in Texas. As you know, Texas is very big. Everything's bigger in Texas. So we have to tap into these different ecoregions. We have Lubbock, which is an Olson clay loam, Thrall, which is a Parida sandy clay loam, Beeville, which is a Parida sandy clay loam, and Thrall, which is a Burleson clay. Today for this talk, I will be focusing on Thrall. And just notice the varying different amounts of precipitation. So just a little bit about our research design. This is a randomized complete block split plot design with three replications. Our main treatments are tillage, which is conventional till, strip till, and no-till. Our summer treatments are fallow, which is our control, grain sorghum, cowpea, sesame, and a 9-species cover crop mix. The NRCS generally wants the more diversity in your cover crop mix, so we kind of chose some of the more drought-tolerant commonly used cover crops in the Texas region. And basically we got this cover crop mix and the ratios for this cover crop mix by taking the monocropping cover crop mix seeding rate and dividing that by 9 and kind of just bumping up the ratios depending on how vigorous these different crops are. So like cowpea, for instance, if you have a vining forage cowpea, it's going to be a lot more aggressive than something like a buckwheat. So just our material and methods, we have a bunch of different soil moisture, soil measurements, but for this talk today, I'll be focusing on soil water content change over time, as well as stand counts, wheat grain yield, and summer double crop yield. For our wheat yields, as affected by tillage treatments in 2015 and 2016, we have grain yields on the left-hand side. Just notice that these are on the exact same scale. In 2016, we had much better grain yields than we did in 2017. Winter wheat did not do so well in Texas as a crop because we had a very warm winter. We did not have a lot of vernalization. Something I should point out, wheat is not strip-tilled in this study. We strip-till our double crops on 30-inch row spacing, which I think is about 76 centimeters. And then we actually plant our wheat on 7.5-inch row spacing, which is about 19 centimeters. So we only do that in preparation for the cover crops in the summertime. So think of the strip till more as a no-till. I'm going to refer to these as minimally tilled from now on. So we do have some statistical differences between the conventional till and the minimally tilled plots in 2016. We believe this is due to a stand establishment I think soil moisture content at the time of planting. For 2017, the exact opposite can be said. We believe you're seeing these changes today because of the planter that we use. The day of planting, we had a no-till drill rolling up into the field, and it had some mechanical errors, and we were forced to use a conventional style drill. The reason why we went forward with that decision was because rain was coming, and we were already planting this winter wheat so late. So we really wanted to get that wheat in the ground. We wanted to take advantage of the rainfall, because this is in a dryland study. So just some wheat yields as affected by the double crop treatments from 2015 and 2016. Again, notice the stark differences in yield. And we do not have any statistical differences as of yet that the summer double crops have had on the winter wheat yields. That's a good thing. As of right now, there are no negative effects of that. So just to get into some of our double crop grain yields, which one is going to be more beneficial for the study. So for cowpea, we do have some lower than average cowpea yields. Unfortunately, there's a ton of cowpea varieties, and I wasn't able to actually find some regional cowpea averages, so I kind of have a range that was from a publication done in Lubbock. We are a little bit below about the 350 kilograms per hectare mark, which the minimum I think is about 673. So this may not be ideal in this situation, but it could possibly be grazed. It could possibly be still crop just to add some nitrogen into your soil solution. So it just depends. But just notice that there are no statistical differences between the tillage treatments. For sesame, however, there are some statistical differences. And just notice my incredibly large standard deviation for my conventional till in my sesame as well as my sorghum. We had a lot of variation due to, the stand establishment was kind of all over the place. It was not very consistent. So our sesame yields are actually quite substantial for the sesame yields that I got from Sesico for the regional sesame yields. So that could possibly be a choice cover or a choice double crop. For sorghum, our yields were a little bit lower than they should have been, but we are planting sorghum late, and some of these lower yields are to be expected with a late planting. So not to forget cover crop, I did want to give you some visualizations of the ratios that we and the stand counts versus the biomass that we saw in the field. We did have some statistical differences between the different tillage treatments. And again, we planted 9 species. We did not have 9 emerge, possibly due to competition and possibly due to soil moisture at planting. We're not really sure. But just notice the dominance of cowpea in the beginning and the dominance in biomass towards the end. Which ones are the big winners? Pearl millet and cowpea are always our big winners. Pearl millet puts on a ton of biomass. I also have another millet in the study, a German foxtail millet that is about this big. I don't think it would be a choice cover crop in the mix, but who's to say its varying root, diversity from all these other ones might not be of a benefit. So time to get into some of the soil moisture content change over time as affected by tillage treatments. So we are looking at the 0 to 30 centimeter soil layer, so the layer that the crops are pulling the most soil moisture out of. On the left y-axis, you have the depth of water in millimeters. On the right y-axis, you have precipitation. And at the bottom x-axis, you have time. So starting, it was July 19th, just after the summer double crops were planted, and going until the wheat planting, and then again with the next summer double crop planting. Just notice that there are no statistical differences except for one point in the growing season right before harvest. The conventional till in the darker brown color is pulling the most soil moisture out of the profile because we had, if you remember that year, we had better stand counts and we had a higher grain yield because there were more plants in the conventionally tilled plots. So the summer treatment impacts on soil moisture. Again, we're looking at the same amount of soil, the same soil layer, this 0 to 30 centimeters. So right off the bat, we have a lot of statistical differences. The sesame and the sorghum in these darker red and orange colors pulling the most soil moisture out of the system. But remember, they do produce the most grain yield. Fallow is always going to be, is always going to have more soil moisture in the system, and followed by cover crop and then cowpea. And we notice this to kind of be the trend throughout the season. But right as you get to wheat planting, notice there are no statistical differences. That's a really great thing. And then also notice that at the time of planting, one is, I think the take-home message from this graph is the time of planting, there's sufficient soil moisture for the winter wheat. So just a summary of our results for tillage in 2016 for our minimally tilled plots, we did have some statistical differences. We had greater grain yields. For 2017, the same cannot be said because of mechanical errors, or I guess the machine that we used to plant was not ideal for that situation. For double crop yields in 2016, we had higher grain yields in the no-till and the strip-till plots due to improved stand establishment. For wheat, the summer double crops had no, as of right now, no negative effects on the wheat yields. For soil moisture, it was replenished by timely rainfall events prior to the winter wheat planting. And for the summer treatments, grain sorghum was one of the highest water use demanders out of any of the crops, but it did have some substantial grain yields. For sesame, same can be said, with pretty comparable grain yields due, compared to the county averages. Cowpea had a lower water use demand, but maybe cowpea isn't a good fit for this system. We're not really sure, but we didn't get substantial grain yields. But I've heard of other farmers down the road that have had decent grain yields. We're just not really sure why the cowpea wouldn't work with this system. So we hope to continue the study and hope to see different results in the years to come. For cover crop, it used less water than most of the other summer double crops, but the cost of the seed will have to outweigh the benefits that the soil or that the cover crops add for soil benefit or for the soil quality benefits. So I just wanted to say thank you for the funding, USDA, NRCS, and for AgriLife Research. Special thanks to AgriLife Extension and everyone on my committee. Thank you so much for the tremendous help. This project has been massive and tons of fun. thanks and gig'em. I will take any questions if you have any. Yes, sir.
You started to allude to it right at the very end.
Okay.
How does the farmer pay for it? What does it cost?
So we are, in this project, we are going to be having an economic portion. We haven't done any of the analysis yet, but that will be a part of my thesis. Yes, sir. Yes.
Well, summer crops, you yes. said that the sorghum and the sesame were high yielding. So
mm-hmm.
Is it high enough?
Is it worth it?
I
think that's going to be up to the farmer. I don't want to tell the farmer what to do. With sesame, I think that might be a very viable crop. And I think with sorghum, I think one of the issues we had with the grain yields in sorghum were the birds. And when you have these small plots, they and all the other sorghum is out of the field, they're going to go for these, you know, tasty little morsels. So this year we do have crop cages, so we expect to see better grain yields. So I think it's really up to the farmer. I would recommend both crops, though. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes, sir. Oh, I'm so sorry.
Do you have the leather cadets
available? I do, just not as of right now. There is some analyses that I haven't done yet, but that will be in my thesis. Just, I don't have it today. Yes, sir.
In conclusion, you mentioned that you can see the differences in water use, different crops, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did you evaluate that? Because your
mm-hmm.
soil is clay,
mm-hmm.
and clay has water holding capacity always the same. That's why you have not seen any significant differences in water quantity.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't measure the ET, how can you know that double cropping is the same? Some crop are giving
mm-hmm. some are more efficient.
Taking more water than others. How did you conclude that?
We haven't really concluded that as of yet. I'm sorry. Sorry about that.
Thank you.
Oh.
The water depth, what was that measure? I might have missed. What was that measure of? A certain, was that moisture? Or how did you?
The depth of soil?
Depth of soil water.
Was 0 to 30 centimeters? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, you had where it was placed. You had to take the most.
Yeah, so we so actually our access tubes go down to about 6 feet, but we focused on, and we saw the most statistical differences in that area of the soil that the crops are pulling the most water. So that's the area of the soil that we decided to focus on for this talk.
And it was just reduction in water content.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, water that's actually there.
What
the
was
water
considered a low water content? I mean, it just said it's just.
I don't have context.
What was the kind of value that you relied on?
Ooh, I don't know off the bat. I actually don't have context for that. I'm sorry about that, but I could possibly get that to you later if you're genuinely interested. I could, yeah. Any other ones?
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.